Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you here this morning, and I want to thank the choir. It's a way to get us going this morning, right? That trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to rise, and what a great day that will be. Well, if you'll take your bulletins, we have several announcements we need to go through here. First of all, one that was in the bulletin last week that's not here this week, but next Saturday, this coming Saturday, at Clayton and Lisa Heisler's house, there's an activity for their deacon groups, for Clayton and Clayton's group, and also Scott Cross's group. And it starts at 6 p.m., bring a dish to pass, and it's going to be a good time of playing games and just having some fellowship. And if you could sign up at the Welcome Center just so they know how many people to roughly plan for. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in one of those deacon groups, to be out for that. Next Sunday is our committee meetings, and so if you're in a committee, make sure that you remember following the morning service, those committee meetings take place. We are right now in the full phase of promoting Upward and trying to get kids signed up. As of Friday, we had 52 kids signed up, and so usually it doubles when we start the actual physical registrations. We need some help in December for people to come and be, evaluate the kids. The evaluations are real easy. You count how many times they can dribble the ball back and forth, okay, in 30 seconds, and then how many shots they can make from one spot in 30 seconds, from another spot. They're real simple, and so we could use a lot of help with that. And so if you could help with that, just keep that in mind. Next Sunday, Pete will be sharing what specific jobs he could use help with, and if you could think about being part of that, we would really appreciate that. Our Christmas shoe boxes need to be filled up next Sunday, and so if you are going to bring in items for the Christmas shoe boxes, then make sure you get those in by next Sunday, because we have to get those to the distribution centers. And our goal this year is 200. We did 150 last year, and we need a lot more stuff, all right? So if you could help with that, we would appreciate that. I want to encourage, if you have children that are in kindergarten through fifth grade, on Wednesday nights we have our Awana program, and I'd like to encourage you to have your kids come out for that. It's a great time for them to learn God's Word. They don't just learn the verses. They actually get quizzed and questioned on what some of the phrases in the verses mean, what some of the words mean. So I want to encourage you to have your children out for Awana. And then also we have Bible study on Wednesday nights. So if you're an adult, I'd like to encourage you to be out. And that starts at 6:30, the Bible study. Awana starts at 6. But we all get done at the same time. So the kids just have longer time than we do. All right, and then I would like to, with Veterans Day having been on Friday, I would like to acknowledge all of those who have served or are serving in any of the armed services. We would like to say a big thank you to you. So if you have served in the military or any of the armed services, if you could just stand up so we could say thank you to you. And we do appreciate your service. Your service allowed us to have a free election this last week. And your service helps us to maintain our freedom today to meet and to proclaim Jesus Christ without any fear of the government coming in and retaliating. And so we praise the Lord for your service. Thank you. Well, at this time, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you that this morning, as we meet here, we can have so many freedoms in speech, freedoms in talking about Jesus Christ, and freedoms, Lord, from knowing that there's no other nation that's even able right now to come in and take over our nation, because we have brave men and women who stand on the line for our freedom. And Lord, we do thank you for those who are serving right now. We pray that you would give them safety, that you would give them the ability to get back home to their families when they're done with their tour of duty. And Lord, we do thank you for those who are here this morning who have served our country, and we just ask, Lord, that that you would let them know in their hearts and their minds that their service, it means something even today. And Lord, I do thank you also for opportunities that you give to people in our church to serve. I thank you for Nate this morning as he's down in Missouri preaching at a church down there. We just ask that you give Nate the wisdom to preach your word, and as he does so, to do so unapologetically. And Lord, that you would just use him in a great way this morning while he serves you in preaching down in Missouri. And Lord, as we spend this time here together, I just ask that your grace would be upon us, that we would understand your word. And as we start the study in Ephesians, Lord, help us to understand that your word is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, that the faith that you give us, it is a precious and wonderful gift. As we look at that faith this morning, God, we want to make sure that our eyes are to you, that we never look inside for faith, but we always look to you for faith because you are a great provider for it. So bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us and make sure if you saw one of those veterans, say thank you to them for their service.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with It Is You.
We have come to
Our God is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepting. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? My King would die for me.
joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
Ushers come forward at this time.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you so much for the safe travels to get here. We also pray for the safe travels as we depart from here. Watch over, guide, and direct us. And we pray, Father, that this portion of money that we give back to you that you so richly gave us, that you would honor it and use it to the better furtherance of your knowledge. In your name I pray. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my chain is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood your glory, God, is what I There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope.
I hope that's what you want this morning, is just to become more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, because He's here, He's with us. It's not that we're going to get more of Him, but we can become more aware of Him. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, and as we begin this series, I believe that the book of Ephesians is relevant to everything we need to understand today. And if we as Christians could just allow the principles of Ephesians to live in our lives, then we will be the healing that this nation needs. Then we will be the people that this world needs. And as we study this, if you look at Ephesians and you just dwell on one verse at a time, and you don't look at everything in context, you can come up with some pretty amazing thoughts. One of those thoughts that you could come up with is that God is determining everything that everybody ever does, and we have no choice in what happens. One of the thoughts that we could come up with is that every evil thing that's ever been done, that God has authored that evil, and that God is responsible for that evil. And see, as we study this book, I want you to not look at each just break apart each verse and look at each verse independently, but we're going to look at it chapter by chapter so we can get everything put together. And this is a big puzzle, Ephesians is. But I think when you put the pieces together properly, we're going to find that everything that's talked about is so relevant to our lives today. When I was in sixth grade, I was away at a winter camp. And while I was at the winter camp, I just remember loving to pelt people with snowballs because I grew up in California. And the only time we got to see snow is when we went up into the mountains, and that's what we did. We went up into the mountains, and there was snow. And of course, nobody was dressed appropriately for that snow because we grew up in Southern California. And while I was at this camp, one of the things that was really standing out to me while I was there was I knew everything there was to know about God. I had already read the entire New Testament, Matthew to Revelation through. I was in the process of reading the entire Bible through. And see, I knew a lot about God. I knew a lot about what God did, and I knew a lot about what God wanted from me. But my problem was I didn't have a relationship with God. My problem was that while I was still understanding things about God, I was the center of my universe. Anybody else live there? Yeah. And so, Mr. Nelson was preaching. He was actually the history teacher at the school I went to, and he was the preacher for the weekend. And Mr. Nelson got up, and he preached, and he talked about the fact that there are some people who think they're Christians, but they're not. And he said, there's a lot of phony Christians out there. And I was sitting there listening, and God was speaking to my heart. The Holy Spirit was convicting me of my sin. And even though I was reading my Bible, and even though I was praying, and even though I was in church all the time, when we went to church on Sunday, it was an event at our church. Okay, I grew up in a church of 2,000 people. My dad was the assistant pastor at that church. Okay, we went to early Sunday school. They had Sunday school A and Sunday school B. We went to Sunday school A, and then we had a church service, and then I went to Sunday school B, which was the same as Sunday school A, just at a different time. But since my dad and mom were there teaching, I had to be there. And then we went back Sunday night. And then Wednesday night, we had services. And then Thursday night, we had Awana. And then Saturday morning, we went door-to-door visitation. Okay? And I did all of it. And I didn't know Jesus. I thought I did. I knew all about him. I could explain him probably more clearly than other people could. But I didn't know him. Because I was the center of my universe. And as Mr. Nelson preached, I'll never forget, Saturday night, right afterward, we were supposed to have a pillow fight. And I had stuffed my pillow with batteries. I was going to win the pillow fight. Right? It's the kind of kid I was. I was very competitive, all right? It's a good thing that I'm not competitive anymore. And so I had it packed. I was going to win that pillow fight. But instead of going to the pillow fight, I just remember going to my bunk bed and thinking, Lord, I'm one of those fake Christians. I don't have a relationship with you. And I laid there in my bed and I prayed and I said, Lord God, please save me. And while I was on my top bunk bed praying, my counselor came in. Now I had a relationship with my counselor. Okay, he had been my baseball coach the year before. Seriously, he learned how to play baseball from Baseball for Dummies. Okay, they didn't have those books out back then, but literally, he learned it by reading it in a book. He had never played before in his life. And now, the year before, he had all these incentives for if you hit so many, you know, singles, doubles, triples, home runs. And I was up to bat, and I cranked it over the left fielder's head. I mean, there was no fences. He was running out in the parking lot to get the ball. I rounded first, rounded second, rounded third, and I'm headed home, and he's going, go, go. Well, I can't hear him. I'm running. My helmet's jostling all over my head. And so I see this, and so I stop. I turn around, and the left fielder's just picked up the ball. I looked at him, and he goes, "Go!" And I said, "What? Go!" And so then I turn, and I start running, and they threw me out at home. You can tell I'm still bitter about it. The competitive me. Well, this is the guy who's my counselor for this weekend, and he walks into the room, and he says, "What's wrong?" He said, "We need you for the pillow fight." And I said, "I don't want to go to the pillow fight." He said, "Well, can I help you?" And I'm like, "No, you'll probably tell me to stop when I'm supposed to go." And so he left me alone. And I just remember sitting in my top bunk and just, "Lord, please save me." And I gave my heart to him. And here's what literally happened. There was this huge shift in my life. I went from being the center of my universe to orbiting around Jesus Christ. I went from being the end-all, be-all of everything that I thought about to now I started to think about, what does Jesus Christ want in me and for me? And my life was changed. I get up out of my bunk. Everybody's coming back in because they got done with the pillow fight. And Neil, the counselor, he came over and he said, "What just happened?" I said, "Neil, I just got saved." And he's like, "Oh!" He almost had a heart attack. Okay, I'm the preacher's kid, and I'm the only one that got saved at camp. And I remember calling my dad on the phone. And my dad said, "Who pressured you into it?" "Nobody." "What counselor talked to you?" "Nobody. I wouldn't let him." God spoke to me. See, when we come to the Lord in salvation, He does some amazing things to us. See, the very fact that I got saved that night was nothing of me. It was all of Him. That night, God wanted me. He pursued me. Let's read here, Ephesians chapter 1. If it's okay, we're going to read through the whole chapter, all right? So put your spectacles on if you need them. And let's read here together, Ephesians 1:1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. All right, let's put these wonderful thoughts into place. First of all, here's a question for you. When does salvation happen? When does it happen? Well, it tells us here that his plan began before the foundation of the world. He chose us and planned our individual salvation long before we were ever born. That's awesome. That before God formed the world, he thought about you, and he loved you, and he planned out salvation for you. Now, salvation is implemented after we believe. Salvation is not done at any time before that. Salvation is only implemented after we believe. Look at again at verse 13. Verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, of the gospel. See, we don't get saved during God's planning. We get saved after we believe. And then in verse 19 it tells us, it is effective after we believe. There is no effect of our salvation in our life until after we believe. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. I grew up with a mom who loved the Lord and prayed with me every night before I went to bed. And you know what? Even though I grew up that way, I was not saved until after I believed. Okay? That's what this passage is teaching us. It's implemented after we believe, and it's effective after we believe. So, our faith is relevant because it's all God working this in us. Okay, number one in your bulletin, it says there that our faith is relevant because God chooses to give it to us. In verses 1 through 6, those verses there, they explain that God chooses to give salvation to us. We could never have faith if God had not devised a plan for us to have it. Okay, some people think that God is just like this random, you know, galactic force, that he just kind of did something and he kind of, woo, I hope people fall in line. No, God is a God that plans things, makes things, creates things. And he created a plan for your salvation. And you know the wonderful thing about it? The plan for our salvation, it's the same salvation, but it's implemented to each one of us in different ways. And God had a plan for you. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not in a relationship with him, he has a plan for you to be saved. Faith has real value because God gives us our faith. We're going to skip ahead to Ephesians 2 real quick. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Our faith didn't come from us. It, that's back to our faith, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our faith is a gift from God. The faith that any of us has, it doesn't come from within me. See, we live in a society, in a world where they want us to tell us that every good thing comes from within you. No, let me tell you something. Every bad thing comes from within you. We are not inherently good people. Left to our own devices, we will be criminal. But God, who is rich in his mercy and his love, wherewith he loved us, sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we who were dead in our sins and trespasses could live unto righteousness in Jesus Christ. This is the gift of God. He gives us faith. And every single person here, God is gifting faith. In Romans 5, it says this. In Romans 5, in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which was by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. All right, you listened and you said, I heard gift, right? No, you heard free gift, free gift, free gift. Is there any other kind of gift? No. But God wants us to really understand how salvation works. Salvation is a free gift. It's so free that he devised the plan for it. He gives us the faith for it. It's a free gift. Number two, in Ephesians 1, in verses 7 through 11, our faith is relevant because it is according to God's will. See, God's salvation was his own design. It was his own plan. That's why it is, listen to this very carefully, this is why it is so offensive for anyone to teach the gospel any other way. It is offensive when someone says, well, all faiths are equal. No! God designed salvation. It was his plan. It is according to his will. And anytime we try to alter it and say, well, I'll tell you what God really meant. Or salvation, well, it could be this or this or this. No, my that's not it. That's fallacy. That's an affront to the holiness of God. He, in his own will, created salvation. You know what that means? You and I have no part in authoring salvation in any way. It's by his own will. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 9, it says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the will of God, that every single human receives his salvation. In 1 Timothy 4:10, it says this, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. You see, God planned out this whole salvation thing. Salvation, it's only through Jesus Christ. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through our good works. It's not through a church. It's not through a baptism. It's not through communion. It's not through any kind of Eucharist. It's not through any kind of sacrifice. It's not through any work or deed that any human does. Salvation is all by Jesus Christ. And it is for every person. Especially those who believe. Does it work for someone who does not believe? No. When we don't believe, there's nothing there. He's the Savior of all men. That's his will. that nobody perishes. He died for every single, the scripture tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. 3rd thing we need to understand about our faith. It's relevant, verses 15 through 21 tell us, because it gives us power. Now this power allows us to identify why we are saved. Verses 17 and 18 talk about that, okay? Why we were made. And we have this knowledge contained in us, and I can't talk about it because that's the end of my message. So I'm going to skip that. Let's keep going. Verses 19 through 20. This power identifies us as God's prize. If God went through great pains to make a plan for salvation, when we believe, we are the prize of salvation. John 1:12 tells us this. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, there are two groups of people in the Bible. There are people who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and there are the people who do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ. All were authored a salvation. All of us were authored salvation by Jesus himself. All are given to take part in this gift. But the gift is only received when we believe. When we believe, we are given the power to become the children of God. And if we never believe, we never become the children of God. And so there are only two types of people that exist on this planet, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not. Those who believe are in a relationship with God because you are now made a child of God. That's what the power of God does. It translates us out of darkness and into light. It translates us out of death and into life. So then the 4th thing that this passage teaches us, verses 22 and 23, our faith is relevant because Christ allows the body to share his faith. I'm so glad he doesn't save us and says, all right, you go to it all by yourself. Wouldn't that be terrible? I don't know. Some of you are like, yeah, I like alone, not having to worry about anybody else. Here's the great thing about God's plan. His plan didn't end with receive Christ, boom, that's it, it's over. His plan is now sharing that faith with a body of believers. Christ is the head. We are his body. And so as we share in this, we share in it as all parts of his body. And we all have specific functions that he wants us to do. And so there's an awesome responsibility here that when he saves us so that we can do something that's beyond ourselves. That we can do something that's greater than just, all right, I'm saved, I'm good. But now we have a community of believers, a fellowship of the saints, where we're able to build this faith and grow this faith. And it happens with Jesus as the head, and then with all of us in the body sharing in this together. So now let me take you to the 5th point. We're going to go back to verses 12 through 14. And this is the why he saves us. This is this is like the big idea. This is the reason, really, if we were going to ask what is the reason that humans exist, verses 12 through 14 will tell it to us, because our faith is relevant because it contains a promise. The promise is that if we believe, we will be to the praise of his glory. All right, I've been trying so hard to think of a way to how do you illustrate being to the praise of his glory? Well, I think of my salvation testimony. The way it worked for me was when I believed. When it went beyond me knowing about God, when it went to, I believed and I trusted what he had done for me to save me. He saved me, and when he saved me, here's what happened. I quit being the center of my own universe. Christ became the center of my universe. I became to the praise of his glory. My life orbits around him. And as my life orbits around him, the rest of the believers that I am able to come into contact with, and especially as we are here a church, the meeting of the body of Christ, that we all orbit together around him. When you have a child, children have a hard time seeing the big picture, right? Children, they are the center of the universe. And if you ask them, they'll tell you, right? They're pretty honest about it. You know, if it's their toy, they'll tell you, that's mine, okay? And with children, they have a nature. It's in their nature to say, I am at the center. So I want to ask you a couple questions here. What is the aim of your life? Is the goal of your life to make God great? Or is it for you to accomplish the next whatever thing you want to accomplish on your agenda? Is your goal to make God great? Ask yourself this question. Is my heart fixed on glorifying the grace of God? Okay, we glorify by pushing attention toward, shining the spotlight on. Do you live your life shining the spotlight on the grace of God? Is my aim in this Christian life to make the grace of God look glorious? There are some Christians that we don't make the grace of God look glorious. We make it like it's something to be endured. Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. I can't go out with you because I got saved. I really wish I could. But I asked Jesus to save me, so I can't do that anymore. Do you think that's shining the light? Is that glorifying? See, here's what needs to happen in our lives. This is why he saves us. This is the purpose for his salvation. This is why he chooses us. This is why he makes a plan. This is why he predestines us. He doesn't predestine us just to go to heaven. He predestines us so that we can live according to the Father's will. And what's the Father's will? That we should be to the praise of his glory. That our life exalts his greatness. Is Christ the center and goal of all of your decision making? Let's go back to the child. Child, they're the center of the universe. And what needs to happen is that there's maturity that takes place in a child where eventually they realize they're not the center anymore, right? They realize that there's a family that they live in. There are authorities called parents that are above them. And there are siblings that they are responsible to treat kindly and work with in their home. And so they start to learn that there's a structure that's greater than themselves. Well, with salvation, here's what takes place. We used to be at the center of our universe, but then what happens is God puts himself in the center of our universe. That's what happens when we believe. When we believe, it's not like, oh yeah, I accept the fact that you did that. No, that's not belief. Belief is not, yeah, I think that's very plausible. Sure, God, you did that. You sent Jesus to die for me. No, to be saved is where we realize that he did everything so I could live forever with him. And so no longer am I going to live in the center of this ball that's my universe. I want Jesus there. And when we believe, we're trusting and we're saying, Lord, I will let my life revolve around you. Now, as I say that, what is so sad about most people that call themselves Christians is their life has nothing to do with Jesus outside of church. You say, oh, but I go to church on Sunday. Oh, well, good for you. I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you from being here. I'm very glad you're here. But if this is all you have with Jesus, shame on you. That is not why Christ saved you. He doesn't save you so you can be you and you can just kind of have Jesus as part of what goes on. No, he saves you so that you can be to the praise of his glory. What happens to us is we start to get joy not from seeing our own tiny worth, but from knowing who Christ is and his infinite worth. Have you ever seen those balls that have the electricity going on in the middle of them? And when you touch it, you know, it'll zap you, and you can touch somebody else and it'll zap them if you're touching the ball. Think of your life before Christ as there's nothing that fills that. But when Christ comes into your life, he's the ball of energy. And here's what he wants. He wants us to direct others to him. He wants us to, and not to do it begrudgingly. Don't do it and be like, yeah, I asked Jesus to save me, so I don't drink anymore. And the places we used to go together, I don't do that anymore. And, oh, I got to go to church on Sundays. You know, if that's the way that you point people to Christ, that's not to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory is when he is the ball of energy, and it's just like, I just want you to know the difference that he's made in me. I was without a relationship, now I'm in a relationship with the creator of the universe. And what he's done in my life is so special, he's changed me. I am now to the praise of his glory. And what we do is we tap into that power and we touch other people and we zap them in the greatest of ways, because it turns their attention to the plan, because God had a plan for them too. And God has authored salvation for them. And they need to believe so it can be effective in their life. They need to believe so that salvation will be implemented. And if they never believe, then they will live an eternity in punishment. Eternal punishment. Because they will pay for their own sin. Here in Ephesians 1, we're given this awesome, positive message about our salvation, that Jesus Christ authors it. He plans it. It's his will. And when we believe, we become. This happens. So if this hasn't happened to you, then you need to come up here and you need to get saved this morning. He becomes the center of your universe. Your life becomes to the praise of his glory. And we share that glory with the believers around us. And if you're here this morning and you're going, amen, that's exactly my testimony. That's exactly what God has done for me. Then you know what? You have something to celebrate this morning. And where do we celebrate it? Right here with each other. There's no better place. So we're going to close out the service. We're going to sing Jesus Paid It All. All right? Because isn't that exactly what Ephesians talked about here? Jesus paid it all. And it talks about how he could take a leper's spots and change a leper's spots. And he could take me and make me white as snow. And so if you've been saved, celebrate this morning. If you haven't been saved, I'm going to stand at the front. I'm going to ask you to come down and say, you know what? I need a relationship with Jesus. I need him to become the center of my universe. And we'll talk it through. My talking to you ain't going to fix it. But you know what? Jesus Christ himself, through the power of his Holy Spirit, he will do that for you. And this morning, you can leave here in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray that you would bless this invitation time. Help us, Lord, as we close out this service to just think about this awesome salvation that you give. I thank you that you author it, you own it, it's your will. You give it to us, and when you give it to us, we simply just have to receive. And so, Lord, if anyone here has never received that salvation, I pray this morning that they will. And Lord, if anyone here is, maybe they're just struggling with life, I pray that this would encourage them, that you, Lord, you are going to help them be to the praise of your glory. And the trials that they go through, they're all meant to help point others to Jesus Christ. The difficulties we face, the disappointments that we share, Lord, we do that because you want us to bring praise to who you are as a gracious God. And so, Lord, as we close out this time, we just give this time to you. Use it in a way that'll change each one of us, that'll make us better for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
When our faith is centered on him. Next week we're going to talk about he gives us an identity. And I am excited about sharing with you the identity that Christ has for you. You know, the world has given us a lot of different identities, right? The world slaps a lot of labels on us. And next week I want to tell you what Christ wants you to think about, who you are when he's at the center. So I'll stop preaching. Lord God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us so much that you give us this faith that transforms us, cleanses us, makes us who you want us to be. And Lord, there is a world out there that's really hurting. Lord, as this nation is so divided over so many different things, I thank you, Lord, that we can go and we can say, listen, it doesn't matter what your thoughts are. There is a Savior who can change, who can make clean, who can make pure. There is a Savior who can be the healing for your soul. And Lord, I just pray that we as your people would take our faith and be bold witnesses. And Lord, I know that there is someone out there that can be saved this week. Help us, Lord, to reach them. Before we dismiss the service, this is Mark Trumbull. Mark has come forward to join the church. Mark has 30 years ago, right, Mark? Mark trusted Christ as a Savior, and he got baptized, and he's just recently, I don't know, how many months has it been?
Couple
months, and he's been coming on Wednesdays, and he's been coming to the men's breakfast on Tuesday mornings, and just getting to know Mark has been wonderful, and Mark would like to join our church, and so on a statement of his faith, can I have a motion to accept Mark? I have a first, a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mark, welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. And Mark, I'm going to send you to the back to extend the right hand of fellowship so that people can welcome you as well. And hey, go out this week and live for Jesus.
Amen.
There's no better way to live. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.